If you're like me and spending a lot of time in decentralized finance, security is not just like a nice thing to have. It's like the most fundamental thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But figuring out, all the threats and how to protect yourself, it can be like a full-time job.
It's a lot to stay on top of, for sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of why we're here.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you brought some really interesting stuff to look at today.
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating, particularly this article from Ave AI.
Okay.
And I think this is a really good opportunity to kind of dive into a recent event
Okay.
and what it means kind of more broadly.
Okay, so we're doing a deep dive into OKX's decision to suspend their DX aggregator service.
Yeah.
And this has sparked a ton of discussion.
A lot of talk about
Yeah,
this.
so we want to unpack exactly what happened, why it's such a big deal for on-chain security. And then consider a contrasting perspective from this Av AI.
Yeah, contrasting perspective.
For anyone listening who maybe doesn't live and breathe this stuff every day, a DX aggregator is basically a tool that helps you find the best prices across a bunch of different decentralized exchanges.
Yeah, it pulls together the information from all these different places so you can find the most efficient trades.
So when a major aggregator like OKX suspends its service, that's a big deal.
That's a pretty big deal. Yeah.
So I guess our mission today is pretty focused. We're trying to understand what this OKX incident tells us about security vulnerabilities,
Yeah.
and maybe investigate some potential solutions.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully we can do that without getting too, down in the weeds technically.
Yeah, exactly.
Like high level, but still really insightful.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So this article from Av AI
Yeah.
really jumps right in.
Yeah, it gets right to it.
It says that OKX, a big name in crypto exchange.
Huge name. Everyone knows
Yeah,
OKX.
they detected that there was some misuse going on in their DeFi services.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, some small time thing either.
Okay.
The article says it was Lazarus,
Oh, wow.
the North Korean hacking group.
Okay, so big player.
Not messing around.
So as a consequence of that, OKX decided to halt the DX aggregator operations.
Yeah, temporarily.
Okay.
But I mean, that's a pretty serious response.
Yeah, you don't just do that for nothing.
Exactly. It shows how seriously they were taking the threat.
Okay, and they didn't just do this on their own.
No, they talked to regulators first.
Right.
They wanted to make sure they were doing everything by the book. And really the goal was to implement these security upgrades
Okay.
so that, this kind of thing wouldn't happen again.
That makes sense. What I thought was really interesting was how the article kind of zoomed out a little bit.
Putting it in
Yeah,
context.
it made it seem like this wasn't just a one-off.
No, it looks like it's part of a pattern
Okay.
with
With
Lazarus.
Lazarus, yeah.
Yeah, and the article brought up that Bybit hack, remember that?
Oh, yeah?
$1.5 billion.
That's a crazy amount of money.
I know, right? It just shows you the kind of scale these guys operate on and the
Yeah.
damage they can do.
So this OKX thing is starting to seem a little more serious.
Yeah, I mean, it suggests that this isn't just an isolated event. It's part of something much bigger
Yeah.
and much more worrying, to be honest.
So this OKX situation really kind of shines a light on some of the core security issues that DeFi platforms are facing.
Yeah, and the article you sent does a good job of laying out some of the key challenges.
Yeah, something we can walk through those.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so first up, smart contract vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
So DeFi relies on these, self-executing contracts, these pieces of code.
Right, but if that code has flaws in it,
Yeah.
vulnerabilities or errors,
Yeah.
then hackers can exploit them.
And we see this before, right?
Oh.
The article talks about re-entrancy attacks.
Yeah, for folks who might not be familiar with that, it's basically a situation where a smart contract makes a call to another contract. But before its own state is updated,
Yeah.
the external contract calls back into the original one. And that can allow it to withdraw funds multiple times before the first withdrawal is even recorded.
So basically, it's tricking the system.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. It's like a loophole in the code.
Yeah.
And it shows you how even a small coding error can
Yeah.
have huge financial consequences.
In the real world.
Yeah, in DeFi.
Okay. And then the article moves on to protocol interactions, which is another kind of layer of complexity here.
Yeah, DeFi is all interconnected, right?
Yeah, it's like a whole big ecosystem.
Exactly. All these protocols interacting with each other.
So a weakness in one protocol could affect others.
Yeah, it's like a domino effect.
Okay, so that's something to be mindful of.
For sure.
And then the article talks about centralized points of failure.
Which seems kind of counterintuitive, right?
Yeah, because it's decentralized finance.
Exactly. But the truth is, even in DeFi,
yeah,
there are sometimes centralized elements.
Like what?
Well, think about admin keys. These are keys that can control certain functions within a protocol.
Okay.
But if one of these keys gets compromised,
yeah,
it can put the whole system at risk.
Even if it's decentralized otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. Like a backdoor.
Okay, so it's not as decentralized as maybe it seems.
Well, it's a matter of degrees, right? There's no perfect decentralization.
Okay.
It's more about trying to minimize those centralized points of failure,
yeah,
and making them as transparent as possible.
Okay, cool.
So people can see what's going on.
And then finally, the article brings up front running and arbitrage bots.
Right.
This always kind of seemed to me like a downside of the transparency.
I mean, it is a double-edged sword, right?
Right, because all the transactions are public.
Yeah, pending transactions are visible to everyone.
Yeah.
And that allows these bots to basically jump in line ahead of regular users. And, yeah, and that can be really unfair.
Yeah. And how does MEV factor into all this?
So MEV stands for maximal extractable value. And it's basically the extra profit that can be made by manipulating the order of transactions in a block.
Okay.
So, you know, someone could buy a token right before your large order pushes the price up,
yeah,
and then sell immediately after making a quick profit at your expense.
So these bots, they're kind of gaming the system.
Yeah, they're taking advantage of the transparency and the speed of the blockchain,
okay,
to make profits that wouldn't be possible in traditional markets.
So when you think about all of these security challenges,
yeah,
this OKX thing has some pretty big implications for DeFi in general.
Oh, absolutely.
The article talks about increased regulatory scrutiny.
Right. Regulators are going to see these incidents, yeah, and they're going to want to step in and maybe introduce stricter rules.
Which could be good or bad.
Yeah. It's a tough one, right? On the one hand, you want to protect users.
Yeah.
But you don't want to stifle innovation.
Yeah. It's a tough balance.
For sure.
And then there's the impact on user trust.
Right. Every time there's a hack or a platform suspends services because of security issues, yeah, it makes people less likely to use DeFi.
Yeah, because it seems risky.
Exactly. And that makes it harder for DeFi to really go mainstream.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how long it'll take for people to feel comfortable putting their money into these systems.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder that myself sometimes.
Yeah.
And the article also talks about this tension between innovation and security.
Right. You want to move fast and break things.
Yeah.
But you also need to make sure that things are secure.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with people's money.
So it's not all doom and gloom, though?
No, not at all.
The article talks about Aave AI as a different kind of example.
Yeah. They're positioning themselves as a platform that's really focused on security.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of users.
Okay.
Over 7 million, according to the article. And they support data from over 130 blockchains and 300 DEXs.
So they're pretty big.
Yeah. They've got a broad reach.
Yeah. And it's not just trading, right? They also do on-chain analytics.
Yeah, they offer all sorts of tools to help users make informed decisions.
So this is stuff like smart money tracking.
Yeah.
KOL insights.
Yeah, that's tracking what the influential figures in the space are saying and doing.
Oh, okay.
Insider trading alerts.
Wow.
And whale movement monitoring.
So they're basically trying to give you an edge.
Yeah, they're giving you the information you need to stay ahead of the curve.
Okay, so how are they beefing up security specifically?
Well, one of the big things they talk about is advanced encryption and MEV protection.
Okay.
So they're using really strong encryption to protect user data.
Yeah.
And they're also implementing measures to prevent people from being exploited by those MEV strategies we talked about earlier.
Oh, okay. So this would help with that front-running problem.
Exactly. Yeah, they're trying to level the playing field for everyone.
Okay. And then they also have this token security check.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a really useful tool.
It's basically a deep dive into a token smart contract. Okay, so they look for things like proxy status.
Okay.
Blacklists, admin permissions, minting capabilities.
Wow.
Top 10 holdings, liquidity pool status.
So it's a pretty thorough check.
Yeah, they're looking for any red flags that could indicate a scam or a rug pull.
So if OKX had been using something like this,
yeah,
they might have caught this Lazarus thing earlier.
It's possible.
Okay.
I mean, these kinds of tools can be really valuable for preventing these kinds of attacks.
And then they also have decentralized wallet management.
Right.
Which is kind of a core part of their security philosophy.
Yeah. They don't store any sensitive user information on their servers.
So no passwords, private keys,
nope.
Mnemonics, key stores.
None of that.
Okay, so you're completely in control of your assets.
Exactly, which reduces the risk of a centralized point of failure.
Okay, so if Av AI gets hacked,
Yeah.
your funds are still safe. In theory, yes.
Okay, but doesn't that also put more responsibility on the user?
Yeah, for sure.
Because you have to manage your own security? Exactly, it's a trade-off, right?
Yeah.
You're reducing the risk of a platform-wide hack,
Yeah.
but you're increasing the individual responsibility.
Okay.
So it's important for users to be really careful and take all the necessary precautions.
Yeah, so it's not a silver bullet.
No, but it's a step in the right direction.
Okay.
And the article goes on to talk about the impact of all this on the BNB chain ecosystem.
Okay.
They argue that Av AI's focus on security is actually good for the whole chain.
How so?
Well, they say that by providing these tools and features,
Yeah.
they're fostering trust and encouraging more people to participate in the BNB chain.
Okay.
So it's like a win-win.
A rising tide lifts all boats.
Exactly.
Okay, so Av AI is making the BNB chain more attractive.
Yeah, and more resilient
Okay.
because it's addressing these key security concerns that we've been talking about.
So just to sum all this up,
Yeah.
this OKX incident really shows us that there were still some big security vulnerabilities in DeFi.
Yeah, especially when centralized components are involved,
Yeah.
like we saw with those admin keys.
And this Av AI article presents their platform as a kind of alternative,
Yeah.
focusing on decentralization and these specific security features.
Right, things like encryption, MEV protection,
Yeah.
token security checks, and decentralized wallet management.
Yeah, and they're saying this is how you can mitigate these risks in the BNB chain.
Exactly.
So as you're out there in the wild west of DeFi,
Yeah.
you got to be careful.
For
It's
sure.
not just about getting the highest yield,
Right.
it's about protecting your money.
Yeah, security first.
So this whole discussion makes me think about the future. You
Yeah.
know, as these cyber threats get more and more advanced?
Yeah, they're not slowing down.
No.
They're getting smarter.
Yeah. So what role are these decentralized systems going to play in secure finance?
It's a big question.
Yeah. And what new solutions are we going to need to come up with?
Right. How do we stay ahead of the bad guys and build systems that are truly resilient?
So it's all about finding that balance between convenience and security.
Yeah. What are you willing to give up for peace of mind?
That's a great question for everyone to consider.
Yeah, think about it.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
Yeah, this was great.
We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye.